God, we thank you for your unconditional love for us and for all creation, and for your glorious grace in Jesus Christ, and for your Holy Spirit and your love poured into our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Will the children come forward as Kathy comes to share our children's message today?
Is it just you and me, Eliana? Are you coming? You're coming? Okay. I think it's just you and me. That's all right. Small crowd. We can get things accomplished. Right? So what are some things that make you happy?
Sunshine.
Sunshine. Good. What else?
Storms?
Storms make you happy?
Yeah.
She's like her mom.
Really? Yeah? Mom is saying, yep, that's true. What else?
Rain.
Rain makes our flowers happy, right? And the corn and the beans, they're happy too when we get rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some things that make you sad?
No.
No.
Snow makes me happy.
Snow makes you happy? Okay.
Yes.
What makes you sad?
What makes me sad?
Yep.
Me makes me sad socks.
Socks?
No, socks.
Oh.
Shots.
Yep, shots will make me sad too. I bet everybody out there would go, mm-hmm, yep, mm-hmm. What else makes you sad? You're actually, thank you, Adrian. You know what I was going to say? You are the perfect person for this children's moment. Yes. Perfect. I was waiting for a big, long list of really sad things, but you're all happy.
Hey.
Hey.
What else makes, that's all my sad.
That's good.
That's all my sad things I don't want.
That's it? Okay. So I'm going to talk about something that's kind of like happy, but not happy. It's called joy. Do you know what that means? What's joy?
Joy is happy.
Oh, what if I told you you're not exactly right? Would that be okay to say that?
Yes.
It would be okay to say that? Do you know what joy is? Joy is something that does make us happy.
Yes.
Do you know what else it might be?
Should I
just give you the mic? I'll just give you the mic. It's just easier. Yeah. So, what else is joy besides happy? Because you're
what
right.
else is joy?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you angry?
Oh, now wait a minute. This is my children's moment. Hold on. This is my children's moment. I'm taking the mic back. No, hold on here. You're going to ruin the moment here. So joy. So joy's kind of like happy. Can I tell you a secret? You make you happy. Did you know that? Yep. Who gives you joy?
Inside out.
Inside out? Kind of, sort of, right? But there's somebody really big and powerful that gives us joy. Who would that? Don't look at your dad. He might know the answer, though.
I'm scared.
You're scared? No, don't be scared.
I don't like dragons.
You don't like dragons? Yeah, I get that.
What is a dragon?
So joy is something that Jesus gives us, and nobody can take it away. When you're happy and you make yourself happy, it's easy to sometimes be sad. But when joy comes inside of you, you can't get rid of it. It's always there.
It's always there?
It's always there. You just got to remember it's there and not get sad. Because joy's on the inside.
Joy's in the inside?
It's on the inside.
Well.
Yep. Wow.
Well.
Do you think we should pray?
Right now, I'm happy.
You're happy right now? I'm so glad. You say an echo prayer with me?
But sometimes we can cry. Like Ezra, once we put somebody, we get sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that sadness is in us and inside us.
Yep. Well, you got to make room for joy. Got to get the sad out, okay? Let's do a prayer. You ready? Dear Jesus, thank you for joy.
Thank you for joy.
And thank you for reminding me that it's always there. I've just got to remember it's there. Help me to look at you and see joy.
And see joy!
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good job, Ileana.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. That, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still, let's keep reading, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let's say that again. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good news? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were long and far off, God our Father saw us coming home from the pigsty and was waiting for us and was ready to throw that party and to run out to meet us and to embrace us with his unconditional, never stopping, never giving up love for us. That he proved for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of his obedient faith, his sinless life, and his death on the cross for us, and his resurrection from the grave for us, so that death would not be our end, but the eternal life through his resurrection would be our destiny. Glory to God. I never get tired of that. And so, we've been in Romans. We've gone through the first four chapters, right? And in the first four chapters last month, we learned that we are not ashamed. Paul is not ashamed, but we are not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God to save everyone who has faith. First for the Jew, those who had first received God's promises, and then for the Gentile, those who weren't Jews, but those who had faith. That's who Jesus came to save as well. So for everyone that has faith, the gospel has the power to save. And we learned last month that the gospel in Romans, the gospel of Jesus Christ, reveals God's righteousness, God's justice, God's integrity, God's character, God's faithfulness to keep what he has promised his people. And now this month, all through July, we're going to see that the gospel of Jesus Christ creates a new humanity in Christ. It makes us new. And so that's what we see. Since we're justified, we're made right with God by faith in Christ alone, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Right now, here today, we have peace with God. You hear the birds? They're singing the same song. We have peace with God. I'm so thankful for this. And as we learned before, that justification by faith is how Jesus declares us righteous and makes us right. We're given a new status. Jesus makes us right with God, and we're forgiven. Our slate is wiped clean. We're free to go and sin no more, and to live not for ourselves, but for God and for others. We're given a new family in justification. We're included in God's people, going all the way back to Abraham, in the family of faith, the faith in the one, in God, who would keep and fulfill his promises to make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky, and that his descendants would be a blessing to all nations. All of that was pointing to Jesus, the one who would fulfill all of God's promises through his sinless life, his faithful obedience, and his death and his resurrection for us. Such good news. And we have a new future through justification, that we live now, not in the past, not in the wake of our sins, but now we live in the aftermath of God's grace for us in Jesus. That now our new future is that of a life transformation. That God has poured out his love through Christ into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. And we heard this good news that now our sin had separated us from God and condemned us to death. But now, since we have peace with God, we have access to this glorious gift, this grace of God's unconditional love, where we can stand with boldness and confidence, not in our own merit, not in what we can do, but in what God has done for us and in God's love for us, that he has loved us from the womb and he'll love us to the tomb. From the cradle to the grave, God's grace covers us and is there for us. As we learned in our new Bible study, The Grace-Filled Life, we learn that God's grace begins even before we know God. We're created in God's image. We're given intelligence, and we're given the ability to choose right from wrong, to choose God's love for us. Because if we can't choose, it's not love, is it? It's coercion. But God is not a cruel tyrant. God is our loving Father in heaven. God is the God who came himself in the flesh to live like us and to die for us and to suffer our sufferings for us so that we could be saved. Thanks be to God. And so in this, we boast, Paul says, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We learned last week, right, that if we want to grow strong in our faith, what do? We give glory to God. We grow strong in our faith as we give glory to God, right? Just like Abraham. And now we have this hope of sharing that glory that we've been given to God, that God will share his grace and his love with us in eternity. And not only that, Paul says, and this gets a little weird. I had to think twice about this, but we boast in our sufferings. We can boast in our sufferings. I think that's because we can boast in our sufferings because we know that even as we suffer, God still loves us. And our sufferings and our sickness and even our sins cannot take away from God's love for us. It's God's yes to love us even before we say yes to him. And so these sufferings become, they're like seeds of our faith in action. Our sufferings are the seed, and our sufferings begin to sprout and produce an endurance, a perseverance, a not giving up, that something about God's love pushes us forward and carries us even when we can't carry ourselves. How many of you remember that Footprints in the Sand poem? I used to be hanging up on the wall for my grandparents' house. And I remember the gist of the poem. I wish I could recite it. But there's a point where there's just a single set of footprints. They're a little bit bigger. And that's because God carries us when we can't walk anymore. He carries us all the way. Just as that song we sang earlier at the beginning of church. He carries us through our failures. So this endurance is sprouting up. And not only that, it produces a character. It begins to form that righteousness in us. It begins to give us an integrity that we're walking the walk and not just talking the talk. That when the chips are down and the wheels are falling off and we don't know up from down, our sufferings remind us that we're not alone, and that can remind us of Jesus, that God loves us and is with us, especially when we suffer, and gives us that endurance through Christ, who endured for us all the way to the cross, and gives us that character. And you know what? That character, it's kind of like the bloom. And as the character blooms, eventually it's going to bear the fruit. And what's that fruit? The fruit is hope. Hope. And doesn't our world, our state, our community, even you and I, we need hope more than ever, don't we? We need hope. Hope is what pulls us from the present into our destiny in the future. It's what helps us see that vision God has given us in Christ and in God's promises for us. Knowing that God will finish that work in us. God's going to finish the job. He's like, we're in this marathon of life, and God is there the entire time. Jesus is in heaven right now cheering us on and praying for us and pleading for us and saying, you can do it. I have faith in you. You could be faithful like I am faithful because I am with you. I'm not letting go of you. See, we have hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Let's say that together. Hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has been poured. It's overflowing into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That's the good news. That even while we're still weak, at the right time, not in just some passing time, not just time on the calendar, not the chronological time, but the kairos time, the now, the ultimate time, the right time, the time of times, at the right time, the hinge of all history, Christ died for the ungodly, for sinners like you and I. And God proves his love for us. And while we were still sinners, and even now while we still struggle as sinners, Christ still died for us. And now, at the right time, now, here and now, we are justified. We are made right by his blood. He's covered our sins and passed them over. He's forgiven us and wiped our slate clean. He's redeemed us and bought us back out of this the slavery to debt into our sins and even the fear of death. He has bought us and brought us back home to God. So we are, it says we will be saved, not just saved in the past, but we will be saved. We are being saved through him. We're saved from that wrath and judgment of God's righteousness that we heard about in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. We're delivered from that trap of sin and death and fear of judgment. And Paul argues, while if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely now, having been reconciled through the death of his son, or we're reconciled, we're going to be saved. We will be saved through his life, through his resurrection, through his constant prayers for us, through his forever presence with us, through his Holy Spirit. He will save us again and again. And so now the third thing that we boast of, we've boasted of our hope of sharing the glory of God. We boast even in our sufferings. But now we can boast in God because of that relationship. We can boast in our God who is faithful, who keeps his promises, our God who never leaves us or forsakes us, our God who doesn't give up on us, our God who has faith in you, even when we don't have faith in ourselves. We can boast in God through Christ because now we have received reconciliation, not just reconciliation with God, but now as Christians, we've received the ministry of reconciliation. Now we get to do the things that Jesus did for us. We get to do that for our loved ones and for our neighbors and even for our enemies. We get to participate in that ministry of reconciliation. We get to be those blessed peacemakers now. We get to be the ones who God makes us meek and lowly in spirit so that we're dependent on him, so that he can fill us, not with our spirit, but with his spirit, which renews and enlivens our spirit with his, so that we can not only be forgiven for our sins, but that we can forgive others, and we can not only confess our sins to God, but we can confess our sins to another and be healed. We can forgive others, and we can pray for them to be healed, as Jesus is healing us, and we can be reconciled with one another, that we can have hope that things aren't always going to be the way they've been, But now, because of Jesus, things can change. Our lives can really be transformed and are being transformed because God is going to do it and God is doing it. And so today, the next part of the reading that Paul has, I just wanted to share this with you, but the gist of this is this. The one thing I want you to remember is this. Through Adam, sin came. Sin came into the world through Adam. Through one man, sin came and condemned us to die because of his sin. Not just our past sins, but sin with a big S, the sinful nature. That part of us that sabotages us, even when we want to do the right thing, but we do the wrong thing. Even when we want to do good, but then we end up doing evil somehow, even despite our best intentions. Sin came all the way back from Adam. But while sin came through Adam, the grace of God is even greater. And grace came to us through Jesus Christ. God's unconditional love came to us through Jesus Christ. So read with me, or just listen from Romans 5:12. I just want to read this so you can hear this. Just as sin came into the world through one man, through Adam, death came through sin. And so death spread to all because all have sinned. That's the predicament, the plight of humanity. Sin was indeed even in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned or credited when there's no law. Yet death exercised dominion or ruled or reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin were not like the transgression of Adam, who's a type of the one who was to come. But no, the free gift in Christ, the grace of God, is not like the trespass or our sin. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely has the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of the one man, the new man, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is like Adam 2.0, what Adam was intended to be but never could be. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, who abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass or sin brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification, makes us right with God. And if because of one man's sin or trespass, death exercises dominion through that one, through Adam and his consequences, much more surely will those of us who receive the abundance, that is, the grace that never stops giving, the grace that will never run out, the fountain that never runs dry, the abundance of grace and the free gift of what? The righteousness of God. So that grace would exercise dominion and rule in our life. That God is calling the shots now because of Jesus. That we're not left on our own. That we don't have to fix all the world's problems in our own feeble human power. But that God can renew us and transform us through his Spirit. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He goes on to say, just as one man's trespass lends a condemnation for who? For all. So one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus' faithful obedience, many will be made righteous. See, Jesus is covering and making up for all of the mistakes of humanity, all of the sins, all of the wickedness. He makes it all right. But Paul warns that law came in with the result that the trespass multiplied. The law makes us aware of the sins that we commit, right? It shows us where we cross that boundary in that relationship with God. And so the more we try to follow the law, and just by following the law in our own power, the more we realize that we can't live up to the law. There's 613 laws in the Torah. We can't live up to all that. And so if we try to follow the law and do all the right things and try to please God with our actions and think that's good enough to save us, we're going to be disappointed and we're going to feel a sense of condemnation because we fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the truth. But here's the good news. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that just as sin exercised rule or dominion in death, so now grace exercises dominion and rules through that justifying grace, the grace of God through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus that makes us right with God. So we can really change. We can really change. Say that to your neighbor. Say, we can really change. We can really change. That Jesus gives us new life. Not only does he give us life, but he gives us eternal life. The life that we celebrate when we come to communion and we proclaim his death and his resurrection. It's good news. It's good news for everyone, even if they don't want to hear it. Because God's grace covers all of our sins, and it abounds for all. God's grace is like this giant invitation to this great banquet, the party of eternity. And anyone is welcome who wants to come. But you have to receive that gift, and you have to RSVP if you want to come. But if you RSVP, you will be signed, sealed, and delivered to God our Father through Jesus Christ, through that his ministry of reconciliation. And that Holy Spirit is his seal of approval and says, I've got a seat right here for you, and I can't wait to see you. But in the meantime, I'm going to come to you and make you ready for this party. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to make you like Jesus, so that you can bring as many people as you can with you to this great banquet. So while the curse of sin and death came through Adam, the love and the holiness and the grace of God abounds and came to us through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.